The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Mango?
Afternoons on the Score.
Hey, John boy, how's the weather?
John Morosi.
Hello to a new adventure. Living my life in Michigan, my home state, surrounded by family and friends.
Columnist for MLB.com.
The girls are actually here not far from me. They're now consuming their cake pops. So they're quiet right now. And then you look at Robbie Ray as well.
You want to tell that kid to quiet down after the cake pop in Italian?
Non mangiare. Non mangiare il cake pop. È troppo rudioso.
Yeah, that was too much noise. And now she's... I've now poked the bear.
Fox Sports baseball contributor.
Giancarlo, career high 6 RBI tonight. Dylan Cease has one of the best fastballs in the game, Giancarlo. How can you stay on top of it that well twice?
He left him over the plate. He left a few mistakes. So that's my job. I got to hit mistakes. And great heaters or not, I got to be on time.
Giancarlo, non si può stopparlo.
MLB Network Insider.
Rizzo had some comforts of home today at a lunch at Bari, one of his favorite Italian restaurants here in Chicago.
John Morosi.
I'm so happy, I can't lie to you. It's the best moment of my life. All the fans who are here supporting me, it means the world.
With Parkinson Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Our friend and yours, John Morosi, on the Circuit Resort and Casino Hotline. Circuit Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book and speaks. Most people don't know that last clip in his open, all the support, it means the world to me. This is one of the greatest moments of my life. He's talking about meeting Shane Reardon and Chris Tannehill.
Oh, I can only imagine.
Most people don't know that. Well, isn't that right,
last
John?
Last night, baby. Amen. That was a lot of fun. That was creatively done, as it always is. For Tanny and Shane, thank you so much for staying to the very end of the game last night. My voice, as you could tell from my interview with Giancarlo, was starting to wane a little stronger today. But that was a lot of fun, man. Thanks for sticking around, guys, last night. I appreciate it. And as always, a great intro put together by Tanny and Shane. Well done.
Yeah. Did you guys enjoy meeting JP last night?
He's one of the greats in the game. He's absolutely the best in the business. We moved over to the third base side where John was in the camera well toward the end of the game, and we're sitting there as everybody's making their way out, and Tanya and I are just waiting for John to come back from the first base side where he was interviewing Stanton, and the ushers are trying to kick us out. We're like, no, we're waiting to see our friend John. We're just going to stay right here. No problem. We're good. We're cool. And then John, from the first base dugout, sees us standing halfway up in the third base stands and starts waving, and then he sprints over there with a nice conversation and a good picture.
Aww. It was a lot of fun. I feel like the timing was so perfect because that usher was starting to – it was like at the limit where he's like, I have to see this guy to validate why I'm going to let you stay in the ballpark longer than you're supposed to. I was like, no, look, there with me. There with me. No, come on down. There with me. It was pretty cool.
Fun fact, that's just how people react to Tanny and Shane hanging around too long. Like, it's just get these guys out of here. Had nothing to do with the ball game.
I tell you what, I think that the ushers on the south side last night, given the score of the game, given how long it went, there was I think there was just kind of that general sense of frustration at the ballpark by the time it ended, and I think that there had to be that moment of coming together and finding that great spot to meet, and we did, and it was great.
I'm glad that the meeting of the minds happened between the great teammates. John Morosi, you are one of the nicest people that I've certainly ever met in sports media. We're happy to have you as a part of the show. You know, you're in town. It's a big series, Yankees, White Sox. Measuring stick series is just a term that fans throw around, right, for a series in May. But Yankees arguably the best team in baseball. White Sox have been disappointing. What were your takeaways from seeing the teams up close and personal?
You know, obviously just the first game, but for me, I think we saw just how dangerous the Yankees are. I mean, there was basically one play that could have been made that obviously might have kept the game tied. Didn't happen. It was a tough ground ball by Judge into the shift, and the Yankees get the extra run because of a tremendous base running play by Torres, and then they were off to the races. And that's a lineup that you cannot make mistakes against and hope to then recover and win a ball game. The White Sox, to me, after watching them, and again, it was one day where I was able to see them up close, the talent is there, but the flaws and the sloppiness are there too. And I think that right now the White Sox are a frustrating team to watch when you compare them to a team like the Yankees, who are doing the big things well, like two home runs by Stanton, the home run by Judge, Donaldson, and then the little things well too, like the base running play by Torres. And I think you look at this team, the White Sox, and talent for talent, 1 through 9, they probably have about as much talent as anybody in the American League, but they don't execute. They have the worst defense objectively in the major leagues, and they also walk the most batters per nine of any team in the American League. When you issue walks like that, Joe Kelly was doing it last night, and you give up extra outs, you're just not going to be able to beat top quality teams. And so, like, the White Sox are a very interesting team because they're not young enough to be called a rebuilding team, and so that they really have to be good enough to win right now. And when you compare them against the Yankees in this series or Houston last year in the playoffs, they're just simply not quite ready to win those big games, those big series.
Yeah, no, this is their moment. This is their window right now. Interesting to hear a national voice like John Paul Morosi recognizing some of the stuff that Sox fans have noticed here and been frustrated by. Jose Abreu looking back at an umpire and allowing an extra run to score on an infield single, part of the sloppiness. Whose responsibility is it to fix it? How do you fix this stuff when a team is good but doesn't do that stuff well?
Well, and that's an excellent question. And to me, I think Tom Verducci made a great point in the broadcast last night for MLB Network that's a play where Jose, as a veteran and certainly someone who they look to, should know that you let the replay thing play out when the play is over. Your job is to play it out as long as it's in front of you, and then we can hash that all out later. I think that was just maybe a moment of frustration. Jose's offensive numbers have not been what he typically has, and I think that you're seeing whether it's, I would say, maybe lack of attention to detail at times, which is surprising because that's the hallmark of a Tony La Russa team for so many years, has been that attention to detail. I think Kelly and Tom made this point in the broadcast too. Kelly probably stayed in for one batter too long. Why wasn't the lefty ready when Rizzo came in? Like, those are questions that I think have to be asked here. It just does not seem like they're mastering the small things. And listen, these are major league players, and I think Tony would probably tell you this too. You're not going to have, like, Tim Anderson's not going to wake up today and decide to work it at bat like Ben Zobrist for the rest of his career. It's just that's not the kind of player he is, and you can't take that good aggressiveness out of him. That's where they are stuck right now. I think the White Sox are stuck. Last night, I think, was a perfect example, and like, the coaching staff knows this, the players know this too. Luis Gil is someone who is often effectively wild. Good stuff, but he's often out of the zone. And they were swinging like crazy in the first inning. You can't do that. I think we all, watching the game, knew that you would have to be patient against Gil. He was walking like six batters per nine in the minor leagues. I mean, the coaching staff knows this. The players know it. But they're just not executing, which I think is why this is such a frustrating team to watch. Because you can't say, oh, they're young, they don't know any better. No, they do. They're veteran players who are good players. But I just think they don't have enough. They're missing like a Kyle Schwarber to put in the middle of your lineup, like a Yordan Alvarez or a Michael Brantley for the middle of your lineup to just kind of slow things down a little bit. And they're not really giving that kind of an at-bat to just give you a little different pace. And I think we're seeing a team that, while very talented, is just not ready for a postseason-type atmosphere based on how they're playing right now.
John, Sox fans are frustrated and scared that this window will pass them by. You have to use whatever inside sources you have, and you've got them. Is there any chance there would be a managerial change during the course of this year? Is there any chance, in your opinion?
No, I think the chance is small. I wouldn't say it's zero, because we know that, listen, this Tony La Russa was not hired because of a five-year plan. The idea was not a five-year plan when he was hired. The idea was, we got to win the World Series in 2021, didn't happen, or probably 2022, which looks like it's not going to happen right now. So I would put the chances less than 50-50, because obviously this is Jerry Reinsdorf's decision to bring him in, and if you move on from him after a year and a half, you'd be saying that was a bad choice a year and a half ago, which Jerry Reinsdorf doesn't often do. And so I think there's a lot of reasons to believe that they would not go that route. But I also think that you can't totally discount it because of the circumstances in which Tony La Russa was hired. He was hired to win in last year or this year. And if it doesn't look like it's going to happen this year, I do think you at least have to acknowledge, again, is it a 20% chance right now, 30? It's there. It's not. I don't think it's more than 50-50, but I certainly think it is non-zero at this point in time.
Do you remember what I told you before the White Sox hired Tony La Russa?
That it was a mistake.
I said that it was a 0% chance. And you're
that's very true. And I was as I recall, I thought it was higher than that.
And you were right, but I'm going the other way, John. 0% that they fire Tony La Russa in season. I said I was wrong on the zero that they would hire him.
There is approximately a 0% chance that Tony La Russa is the next manager of the White Sox.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's I don't think it's zero.
I'm saying it's still not above 50, but I'm saying it's non-zero. And listen, I mean, this it's also possible, by the way, that if Tony feels like it's that he's not the right voice and the right fit, that he may make that same decision himself. Like, that's an entirely a possible decision, but that's his to make. And I think, and again, this is all, you know, it's a really interesting topic to get into, but this is all a two-person conversation, Tony and Jerry. That's it. I mean, like, there's probably no other voices that will have a call on what's going to happen with a hire like this, a person like this in the history of the game. I think that is a owner-manager conversation, and that's pretty much it.
30 to 60 seconds here, John Morosi. Percent chance that the Cubs trade Wilson Contreras. What could they get for him?
Now, that is an excellent question, Danny. I'm glad you asked it because I actually was thinking about this earlier today. Quickly, I'll say, yes, there's a chance, maybe 40% at this point. And one team to watch is Houston because their offensive production behind the plate has been very low. I also think this, Cubs fans should not get too excited about what the return's going to be because a lot of teams are really reluctant, given the way that whether it's pitch com or how you game plan out to prevent runs, teams do not want to change catchers midseason. That's a very hard position to change in the middle of the year. Houston, I think, could do it. Maybe Cleveland if the Cubs put all the money in there.
How about the Mets, JP?
The list is not long. Accordingly, the return is less than what you would think, but maybe still a top 75 prospect, but probably not a top 25 or 30 prospect.
But how about the Mets? James McCann just hurt now, probably going to be on the injured list for a couple of months.
Yeah. And that's there's one team that has said no to precious few things in the last couple of years in terms of spending money. So that's I would say that with McCann's injury, add the Mets. If the Mets are involved, then you maybe revise that expectation up a little bit.
John Morosi, good stuff. Sorry to miss you, Speaks and I last night, but glad you got to hang out with Shane and Tanny a little bit, and we'll talk soon.
Sounds great, guys. The next time we'll convene the whole round table when I'm next in town. I can't wait.
That would be excellent, John Morosi.
All the best, guys. Have a great weekend.